All right, welcome back to the deep dive. Today, we're going to be digging into a really significant case, Versada Enterprises versus Selectica. And for you law students out there, this is going to be a masterclass on how companies can defend themselves, especially with this thing called, you know, a poison pill.
Yeah, that's right. This isn't just some random legal decision. It really gets to the heart of corporate defense. I mean, how far can a board go to protect what they think is valuable, you know, without stepping on shareholders' toes?
Exactly. Yeah. And you know what makes Versada really stand out is they use this poison pill, but with a really low trigger. Like only 4.99% ownership. That's way lower than what you normally see. And this whole thing was to protect something called net operating loss carry forwards, right?
Yeah, NOLs.
NOLs, right.
NOLs, exactly. And, you know, for law students, this is huge because it shows how a company can use kind of a creative legal strategy to protect something that's really valuable.
So for those of us, you know, maybe not in law school, break down these NOLs. Like, what are they and why should we care?
Okay, so imagine a company has a rough couple of years, right? They're losing money. But then they turn things around and start making a profit. Now, those losses from before, those can actually be used to offset the taxes they have to pay on their new profits. And that's what NOLs are. It's like a tax credit from the bad times that they can use when times are good.
So it's like a safety net almost.
Exactly.
And in Selectica's case, we're talking about a lot of money, right?
Oh yeah, huge. They had $160 million in NOLs. That's $160 million they wouldn't have to pay in taxes down the line, potentially.
Wow. Okay. So they really wanted to protect these NOLs. And that's where this whole poison pill thing comes in, right?
Exactly. So you can think of a poison pill like this. Imagine you have a hostile takeover, right? Someone's trying to buy up a ton of stock in a company to take it over. The poison pill makes that a lot harder and more expensive to do.
So it's a defense mechanism.
Yeah. Basically, it makes the company less appealing to that hostile buyer.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
But you said Selectica's trigger was super low, right? Like 4.99%. Why so low?
Well, there's a really specific reason for that. See, the IRS has these rules about NOLs. And if someone buys up more than 5% of a company's stock, those NOLs could be limited or even completely wiped out. So they set the trigger just below that 5% mark to protect those valuable NOLs.
Oh, so they were playing it safe, making sure no one could even get close to jeopardizing those tax benefits.
Exactly.
Smart move. Okay, so then Trilogy enters the picture. Who are they and what did they do?
So Trilogy, they were a competitor of Selectica's.
Yeah.
And they started buying up Selectica stock. Now, their intentions weren't exactly friendly, you know. And here's the thing. They knew about that 4.99% trigger, but they kept buying stock anyway, eventually ending up with 6.7% ownership.
So they intentionally tripped the poison pill.
They sure did.
Bold move. So what happened then?
Well, Selectica's board wasn't just going to sit there, right? They fought back. They did this thing called a dilutive exchange, which basically diluted Trilogy's stake back down to 3.3%. And to make extra sure, they put in place a reloaded poison pill, still with that 4.99% trigger.
Wow, so they doubled down. I bet Trilogy wasn't too happy about that.
Nope, not at all. Things got pretty heated. Selectica actually went to court asking for a declaratory judgment to say that their poison pills were legit. And of course, Trilogy fought back, saying the pills were invalid.
So this ended up in court. And I guess the big question is, did Selectica's board actually have the right to do all of this?
That's the million-dollar question. And this is where the famous Unockel test comes in. This is how Delaware courts, you know, where a lot of these corporate cases end up, decide whether a board's actions were justified.
Okay, I'm all ears. Break down this Unockel test for me, for all the law students following along.
All right, so there are two main parts to this test. First, the board has to show they had a good reason to believe there was a real threat to the company. Like a danger to their business, yep. Their strategy, something like that.
Okay, that makes sense. So in Selectica's case, the threat was losing those NOLs, right?
Exactly. And the second part of the Unockel test is that the board's response to that threat has to be reasonable. Like they can't just go overboard and do something totally crazy to defend the company. It's got to be proportionate to the threat.
Okay, that's fair. So how did the Delaware Supreme Court rule on all of this?
Well, they agreed with the lower court and said that Selectica's board was right to be worried about losing the NOLs. That was a legitimate threat, especially considering how much money was at stake. And they also said that the 4.99% trigger, even though it was super low, was a reasonable response to that threat.
So Selectica won.
They did. But here's the thing. The court was very clear that this ruling was specific to this case, to these facts. They weren't saying that every company could just go out and set a super low poison pill trigger. It had to be tied to a real specific threat, like it was with the IRS rules and the NOLs.
Got it. So this isn't a free pass for every company to just entrench themselves and make it impossible for shareholders to do anything.
Not at all. And there's another important point here, which is that the court said Selectica's poison pill wasn't preclusive.
Preclusive, huh? Okay, legal jargon alert. What does that mean?
Basically, it means that the poison pill didn't completely shut down any chance of shareholders challenging the board, like trying to replace them in a proxy fight.
Okay, so it wasn't like an impenetrable fortress.
Nope. The court looked at how Selectica's stock was owned, and they realized that even with the poison pill, it was still possible for a group of shareholders to get together and mount a challenge if they really wanted to.
Interesting. And what about Selectica having a classified board? Doesn't that make it harder to replace board members quickly?
Yeah, that's true. With a classified board, not all the directors are up for election at the same time, so it takes longer to gain control. But the court said that while it might delay things, it wouldn't make a proxy fight completely impossible.
Gotcha. So there were still avenues for shareholders to make their voices heard, even with the poison pill in place.
Right.
Okay, so any other key takeaways from the court's decision? Anything super insightful that we should highlight for our listeners?
Yeah, there's this one quote from the court that really sums it up. They said, the 4.99% threshold was driven by tax laws, not by the board or the court. And that's crucial because it shows that the board wasn't just being power hungry. They were responding to a specific rule, a specific threat, and the court recognized that.
That's a good point. It wasn't an arbitrary decision. It was tied to something external and objective.
Exactly.
So for all the aspiring lawyers out there, what's the big lesson from this case?
Well, I think the biggest takeaway is that boards have a lot of leeway to defend their companies, especially when they're protecting valuable assets.
Right.
But they can't just do whatever they want. Their actions have to be reasonable, and they can't completely shut down shareholder rights.
Right. It's all about striking that balance, that tension between director authority and shareholder rights.
Exactly. And this case really highlights how courts analyze these situations. It's not just black and white. They look at the specific facts, the specific context, and the reasons behind the board's decisions.
Makes you think, right?
Yeah.
Could this case open the door for companies to use more of these low trigger poison pills, maybe to protect other kinds of assets? Or will courts really stick to this idea that it's got to be a very specific, justified situation like in Versada?
That's the question. And I think it's a crucial area for law students to keep an eye on.
Yeah, definitely something to watch out for. As you all continue your legal studies, think about how Versada might shape corporate strategies, especially when it comes to defending those lesser known but super valuable assets like NOLs. Keep exploring. Keep digging into cases like this. You know, look into how the UNOCAL test has evolved. Learn about all the different types of poison pills out there and see how shareholder activism plays into all of this. It's a fascinating world, folks.
And that's a wrap for today's deep dive. Thanks for joining us.